Some of you guys in the Army probably know what that means. Rank has its privileges. So why does, you know, that guy get to do that? Because he has rank. That's why he does it. You don't. So sit down or be quiet, private. So the way I think about it is when we have a potluck, we say, Pastor, you get to go first, right? It's a privilege of being the pastor. Now, does he always go first? No. He sometimes says, no, it's okay. But that doesn't mean next time he couldn't have that privilege, right? So he has the privilege of using that position. But when Christ came to earth, he set aside that those privileges. He didn't use them. Did he never use them? No, we saw in his miracles he had that power. So he still has the availability, but he set it aside for the time being in his manhood. He knew the mind of man. Where was that? He knew what everybody was thinking. So he still was omniscient. Not always. He even said, even the Son of Man does not know when the return will occur. So that's one thing. He emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. That servant sometimes is translated slave. Which, in our minds, that's kind of a step below servant even. And he was born in the likeness of man. In Romans 8, it says God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do. The law, weakened by flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and force a condemned sin in the flesh. Likeness of man. And he humbled himself. No, he humbled himself. What did he humble? His manhood. He took it not from being just, I guess, a boy and growing into a prophet and all that kind of stuff. Humbled himself. Love came to death. That's submission to death. That submission is not... That brings out the slave, right? Because a servant, yeah, he's obedient, but I don't know about submission so much. Death on a cross. In Isaiah 53, he cares for our oppression. He's crushed iniquities, and it was a chastisement that brought us peace with wounds. We are. And in Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That's hard to imagine Christ being a curse for us. It's true. It's written, everyone, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. That's humbling yourself and submitting. And then in Romans 8, I read verse 3 already, that he sent his son in the likeness of man to condemn the flesh. But why? In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Us who walk according to it, but according to it. So those are some steps of humiliation of Christ. We confess the creed, right? Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius, so on. And then it turned in that 9. Was there, or does it say 4? Therefore, you know, what's it there for? Because it introduces the consequences of Christ's work on the cross. And here it's not telling us the consequences of his payment for our sin on the cross so much, but it's talking about what's this humiliation, what's the consequences for Christ himself? What are the consequences for Christ himself, his manhood? Being humbled, obedient to death, and dying on the cross. Therefore, it says, God has highly, that's a superlative, highly, it's not just pretty high, it's the highest, exalted him. So that's the second leg coming into play. The first one being Christ's humiliation himself. But then God changes that for him. He exalts him. So again, it's his human nature that was lowered, so it's his human nature being exalted. And his divine nature, it couldn't have been lowered. We talked about that. It wasn't a divine nature that was lowered, or it wouldn't have been God anymore. He was always God, highly exalted, but his manhood. Matthew 23, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself, that sounds just like what we read, he humbled himself, Christ, will be exalted. But does he exalt himself? No. Someone else, God himself, the Father, raises him up. And he bestows on him the name that is above every name. Again, it's that superlative thing. It's not just as good as anybody else. It's better than anybody else's name. The name. And that has the notion connected with it of saving, salvation. So now that name is the one that saves us. It says in Ephesians 1, that he is above all things, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And then it goes on that at that name every knee should bow, it says. And it includes those in heaven. Who's in heaven? Angels, saints who have gone before, and on earth. Who's on earth? Us, believers, unbelievers. Now we're starting to get that mix thing here. Hopefully everybody gets from the unbeliever side to the believer side before the physical death occurs. And then the third group, those under the earth. What could that be thinking about? When you say you go down there, the demons and those condemned to hell. So we're all going to have the same thing, from angels to demons, saved and unsaved, the same thing. What we're going to do together, we're going to bow to Jesus Christ. At that name, every knee should bow. And when does this occur? The last day, right? When there is no more future, it's eternity. I'll let you mull that over on your own. There's no more future, it's just eternity. But all will bow. And those who have accepted him will look up with adoration of who he is, what he has done for us. Those who have rejected will still look at him, but in consternation of who he is, but recognizing that the future they could have had with him will not be theirs. And so you think about everybody. It's not just the people. They won't be coerced to bow. It's not that believers will come to them and say, bow. They will bow because of who he is. They will have no choice. And then also they will confess that Jesus is Lord. No longer will they see that servant, that slave. They will see him as Lord who is over all. He has put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things. So that's the pattern. That's the second part of that leg. That's the pattern of Christ to be followed by us Christians. But it can only be done through the Holy Spirit. When you look back to the verses even prior to what we read this morning, it says in Philippians 2, starting at verse 1, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort and love, any participation in the Spirit, see that third leg? Participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or deceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then verse 5, have this mind among yourselves. That's the mind to have among yourselves, not only to your own interests, the interests of others. Humility, nothing with selfish ambition. Count others more significant. Affection and sympathy, all possible through the Spirit working in us and the pattern of Christ who has gone before us in his humble humble estate. So there they are. The first leg, Christ humbled himself. Second leg, God exalted him who was humbled. And the third leg, the Spirit-filled believer. We are participants in being that third leg of acting out or living out a humble life of Christian love. Only possible through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how to live a life. Help us, Lord, to live that life to your glory. Amen. Be thou my vision. Please rise as we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that all that we have is yours to begin with. All the silver and gold in the world is yours, and we thank you that you would allow us to participate in that bounty. And now, Lord, as we turn a part of it to you, we pray that you would bless this gift, that we may, your word may go out, and this congregation would follow your leading. We also pray for those who are sick and those who are shut in. We pray for your loving hands upon them. We pray for those who are in the military and the leaders of the nations. We pray for the call committee. Give them wisdom. We thank you for the leading that you have provided thus far. We pray for those on the cradle roll as they learn of you, that you would continue to lead and guide them, and the church council for wisdom. We continue to pray in the name that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The benediction is Philemon 25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.